Hello, and welcome back to another episode with the Uninformed Gamers. I am one of your hosts, Chameleon or Chris. It's good to be here. And I have here with me my two big hosts, one from another mother and one not from the same mother. I don't know. I fumbled that.
You almost had it, and then you like kind of didn't. It's all good. It's all good, though.
To be fair, Chris, in your defense, like when I did the countdown, I messed that up, and I just was laughing so hard uncontrollably to myself.
Yeah, I laughed at the end there. I was like, God damn it.
So I swung off your balance. So
it's all good. It's all good.
So I've got with me Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review.
Hey, what up? What up? What up?
And Darkness Tiger, Devin.
Hey, that's me. What's going on, everybody?
We like our scuffed openings.
It adds a layer of fun to our intros because it's different every time.
It is. And it adds that sense of unscriptiveness to the podcast.
Yes, all about it. But gentlemen.
Yes.
What have we been playing? Mason, I'm going to shoot to you first.
All right. I appreciate that. Not a lot of gaming, actually. I've been really just grinding out animes, mainly.
Yeah.
Been doing that quite a bit. And then what else have I been doing in terms of gaming stuff? Mainly just playing like the Street Fighter mobile game still. Whenever I get a chance, the Street Fighter Duel, still really digging the game. Couple cool new characters dropped for it. Like, they got Dante in it now. They got Akuma. They got Vega.
Hell yeah.
That's pretty cool. So I'm actually really excited that they're dropping, you know, characters outside of Street Fighter. They also did a Monster Hunter collaboration where they had like a Monster Hunter inspired Ken drop for the game, and he's really cool.
Well, that's really cool. I like that.
So I definitely see in the future, like, maybe like a Resident Evil inspired design for a character, perhaps. Like, they could maybe like make a Rolento inspired character and give him like a Resident Evil 4 skin or something, because the game's made by Capcom. So and if I'm not mistaken, Capcom owns Resident Evil, right?
Yes, they do.
But other than that, that's pretty much what I have been up to. The animes in question that I have been watching have been Gundam Witch from Mercury. Highly recommend. It's very accessible for people. If you don't know anything about Gundam, you can watch this and be happy. But if you have watched Gundam, they are a lot of good Easter eggs that they kind of sprinkle in there for those, you know, longtime fans, which is kind of cool. Then Oshinoko is another good one that I've been watching. And then the last one I'll mention is this other one that is just a completely degenerate anime, and I absolutely love it. I'm trying to remember the title off the top of my head, but it's based off of a light novel. Let me try to find it really quick. I cannot, but it's basically like I was reborn in another world, and I'm over, and like, he is like, I was reborn in another world, and I with a cheat skill or something like that. And he's also overpowered in like the real world. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
So it's not the cheat magician then?
No. I'll think of it later. But yeah. those are like the big ones. How about you, Devin? What have you been up to?
I've actually been doing a little bit of everything. I've actually decided to play two of the games that I've had in my back burner, one of which I've had on my back burner for quite a while since release, and the other which was one of the new downloads. So I'm going to start off with Somerville. Now, if Somerville doesn't sound familiar to you, this was that sci-fi action-adventure game. So it's like you're sitting at home with your family and then there's an alien invasion and you're kind of like running around and I guess trying to like save the world or whatever. I don't know. Independent game studio based in Guildford. Jumpship is the name of the studio. I played this game for about 20 minutes and I'm going to tell you right now, that was enough. I'm done with it. I will never play this game again.
Really? that good, huh?
That great. no, I, as Chris had a problem with Mass Effect, I have a problem with this. And where I think Chris's gripe with Mass Effect is unfounded, and I think he's being a hater, I think that Somerville has a distinct problem. The first 20 minutes of the game, you're just sitting inside your house, right? You start by controlling a little child, and your objective is to get your child into the kitchen. And then, like, your kid's supposed to fall into the trash can. Okay.
What?
Yep. Now, imagine my surprise when I discovered this after about 15 minutes of just fumbling and walking into things. Like, I am like, I was so dumbfounded. I actually restarted the game from the very beginning. I was like, I must have done something wrong. Am I glitched? Nothing is being explained here. And I feel like I can't go forward. So I restarted. I played through and it was like, no, I didn't skip anything. I didn't miss anything. And I just started like pressing random buttons on my controller until things started happening. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then I fell into the trash can. And once the baby falls in the trash can, it starts crying. And then you become an adult. The adult wakes up, goes into the kitchen, grabs the baby out of the trash can. And then the baby goes into the bathroom. I guess the baby's getting washed off. And then you're like tasked with doing the next part. Again, with no prompts. And so you're at a very weird camera angle where like I'm literally just walking into like walls because I literally can't see where I'm going. And I was like, I'm done. I'm not playing this. This is not going to be fun. I'm already not having a good time. So that was Somerville. So I think I'm going to go ahead and delete that. And when I'm looking at the reviews, I got a 6 out of 10. And one of the reasons being, it doesn't have great walk mechanics. So F that game.
All right.
So the next one, which I downloaded, was by the developer Toge Productions. And it is called Coffee Talk. This one is episode 2. Now, you might be asking yourself, what is a game called Coffee Talk about?
I'm going to guess, based on the name, it's about you getting coffee with somebody, and the game is just that.
Nope. No? You're close.
I got an idea. Right.
Go for it, Chris.
I think that you probably run a coffee shop, and you hear the different tales of people as, like, any customers that come through daily.
Ah, you're both kind of right. You're a barista and you're behind the counter making coffee and the people are coming in and having conversations with you and conversations with their friends.
Oh, so yeah, we're pretty close.
Yeah, you guys are spot on. And I'll say I played this, I guess I played the first chapter or whatever, and I loved every second of it.
I knew you.
Okay.
It's I don't know what it is. I really enjoy games where it feels like I'm at work.
Yep.
Like,
why is that?
I don't know. Maybe because I don't love my life, but I enjoy games where I'm like just mowing the lawn, power washing simulators. And this game, it's not because of the coffee. It's not because of that, but it's because the characters, they're each individually defined. You like the stories in which they're telling. There's more of an in-depth story behind every single thing. It's just, it has a lot of charm behind it. It's got a lot of charm. So since this one I believe is on Game Pass, I'm highly recommending it. If you just need something that's moving away from the fast pace of the shooters or the action games or even the grind and bustle of all the other games, pick up Coffee Talk. It is a nice break for gaming.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that sounds kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah, and I recently watched a Netflix film, and I don't know how I stumbled upon this. I was one day just bored, and I just was just going through the mediums, reading my book, playing video games. I was like, you know what, let me watch something different. So I hopped onto Netflix, and I was like, you know what, I want to watch like a fighting movie of some sort. I want to watch something that's like action-y, but like not like gun action-y.
Yeah.
So I stumbled across this movie called Kill Book-san.
Okay. That sounds super familiar.
A top-ranked contract killer stars as protege in this bloody action thriller. this movie is so interesting because you are the main character. She's literally a top-notch killer. Like, that's what she is. Like, she works for businesses where she's an assassin, and like, she's like the old dog. And she, there's one scene where like, she enters the room and there's a bunch of like serial killers, or not serial killers, but assassins training. And like, they all like stop and then watch her. And like, she's just like so positive and so nice. And the lady was just like, well, can you give them a demonstration? And she was just like, no, it's not really my time to give a demonstration. And she says, no, it's okay. This new girl, she's, I think she might even be better than you. And then she just kind of like smiles at the new girl. I was like, yeah, let's go. And just destroys this new girl. It's so good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So those are the three mediums that I have been consuming the most. So yeah. What about you, Chris?
Yeah. Honestly, most of my life has been old school RuneScape right now. Not really much else.
Nothing wrong with the classics.
But yeah. Yeah. It's just easy to play that and turn on a TV show and just kind of chill. So yeah, it's mostly what I've been playing. Let me think. TV, I've really just been watching like the hockey play, like Stanley Cup playoffs. Nothing really else of note right now. But I do plan on watching that Dungeons and Dragons movie this weekend.
Yes, you definitely need to.
Yes. Next episode, we better have your review ready.
Yeah, I'm not good at reviews, but yeah, I'll give you
something. Well, you can just do your
general thoughts. General thoughts.
For sure. But yeah, let's go ahead and let's get into our topics today, and we have a major announcement.
Yes.
Are you guys excited about this reboot of the series?
I am. I mean, it's not the first time, and like you said, I don't think it'll be the last time. If I'm not mistaken, this is the third time that the franchise has rebooted its universe. And of course, we're talking about the new Mortal Kombat that was announced, Mortal Kombat 12, but it's being sold as Mortal Kombat 1.
Start all over from the beginning.
Yep. So they're starting over. Basically, like, the story, from what I can kind of surmise from the trailer, is Fire God Liu Kang basically resets the universe. That's kind of what I'm gathering from it.
Interesting. So the head of Warner Brothers, I guess, is the Fire God, because he was just like, you know what, let's restart this.
I'm talking about the, you know, in-game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like the in-game lore.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's what Warner Brothers did. And I don't... The problem is this has been a series that's been going on for 27 years now.
Oh, yeah. And its story is very convoluted. It really is. It's more complicated than fucking Inception.
Yeah, and that's saying a lot. It's almost as complicated as Legend of Zelda, but we'll get into that.
Yes.
Honestly, every time there is a cinematic trailer for Mortal Kombat, because that's all that we've seen. We haven't seen any real gameplay. It was just literally just announced. Every time there is a cinematic trailer for Mortal Kombat, it doesn't matter what the game is going to look like. I'm going to get hyped no matter what.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they know how to make a trailer. They really do.
I feel like a couple years ago, there was an announcement of a Mortal Kombat game, and they used, like, Eminem. It was either Eminem or Kendrick Lamar in one of the trailers.
Yeah, for, like, the rap that was in the trailer. Dude, that shit went hard.
It did, and then that game ended up being terrible.
That's all right. At least the trailer was good.
Yeah, and I think that I was looking at the IGN, and people are very excited for the reboot of the series. And if you wish to pre-order, they have a $109 premium edition.
Okay. What do you get?
Early access beginning on September 14th, because the game releases, I believe, September 19th, alongside 1,250 Dragon Crystals, the in-game currency, a Johnny Cage skin styled after Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Hell motherfucking yeah.
Absolutely.
Also Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Fun story about that, actually. So when Mortal Kombat first came out, if you do not know, they used real people to capture like the movements of the characters. And Jean-Claude Van Damme was supposed to be Johnny Cage. Like, with all intents and purposes, he literally was supposed to be Johnny Cage, but unfortunately things didn't work out with his schedule and he ultimately couldn't do it. Oh. And so now, what is it, 30 years later, roughly? Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, because Mortal Kombat's, I think they did celebrate the 30th anniversary recently, but to pay homage to the martial artist himself, they're giving him a skin. So that's super hype.
All right. With the premium edition, get early access to 6 new playable characters and 5 new cameo fighters. Now, normally you would say, oh, that's it. It's $109. That is not the only edition.
Okay.
There is a $249.99 collector's edition will be available for just PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series that include all the premium edition content, plus a 16.5-inch Liu Kang sculpture.
Ooh.
3 exclusive art prints, a steel case, and 1,450 additional dragon crystals.
That actually does sound worth it.
Honestly, I was actually looking at my credit card statements. I'm like, you know what?
that's, to be real, like the fact that it comes with that Liu Kang statue is pretty much like the big selling point for me.
Oh, absolutely.
Another cool thing that I noticed in the trailer too, I'm sure you guys noticed it as well, is when they revealed Shang Tsung.
Oh, he's so cool.
They modeled him after Shang Tsung in the original Mortal Kombat movie.
Ah.
So as soon as they showed him, I got so hype. I'm like, yo, they did the thing.
Well, we'll see what they do when they reboot the series in another 10 years, but I'm super excited for Mortal Kombat 1.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, but this kind of segues into our next talking point of just fighting games in general this year, because honestly, as I said in our group chat, fighting game fans are eating well this year. Not only do we have this new Mortal Kombat, we also, after 15 long years, have a new entry in the Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi fighting series. Yes. That is absolutely amazing. Not only that, we also have a brand new Street Fighter coming out. And finally, we have a new Tekken.
Crazy.
You literally couldn't ask for a better lineup this year.
Like, I'm so salty that there's no Evo anymore because, oh my God, Evo would be so hype.
Only thing we need now is Soul Calibur.
Honestly, yeah. They could honestly get away with doing a new Soul Cal because the last one came out when was that? It was a while ago, actually.
I think probably 2018, 5 years ago, maybe.
Because the last one was what, 6?
Yeah, Soul Calibur 6 was the last one,
and that was 2018.
Yep, it's been a minute.
So yeah, that definitely could do with a new entry into the series for sure. It has yet to come to next gen.
That's depressing.
Wow. Which is, dude, holy fuck. Yeah, thinking about that, that's crazy. Because Soul Cal is a very iconic and popular fighting game franchise.
Honestly, out of all the fighting game franchises, I probably played Soul Calibur the most.
I played it pretty heavily as well.
Yeah, I was a big fan as well, the first few.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, were you more Tekken or were you more Soul Calibur or Mortal Kombat?
Wow, that's a good question. I love the characters in Tekken. They were some of my favorite. Mm-hmm. Tekken's just a lot harder because it's
very technical.
It is very technical.
I was definitely better at Soul Calibur.
Yeah, same. I played Soul Calibur competitively and was probably the best at that one in terms of like fighting games.
Now, I will say earlier today, I'm allowing my intrusive thoughts to win this week. And I was sitting here and I was like, you know what? I really want to do a video game tournament. But as you guys are aware, I am really only good at one type of video game.
Yeah, and that's racing.
That is racing. I am undefeated in racing, but I will lose in everything else. And I was just looking in the Cleveland area because that's where we're based on the Uninformed Gamers podcast in Cleveland, Ohio. And there's not a whole lot of tournaments here.
No.
it's like a tournament drought, and it was very unfortunate. I'm like, I really want to get involved with this. And it was like, oh, we have Mario Kart tournaments on Wednesday. I'm like, that's not what I'm talking about. I want like racing tournaments, like an actual mm-hmm. racing game. I don't want to sit there with somebody's mom.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you guys see that story?
Which no. what story is this?
About the Super Smash Brothers match or whatever.
I'm trying to remember. I think I saw something about that on YouTube where Zero, one of the best Super Smash Brothers players of all time, I think he posted something about it, but I didn't watch it. So
well, here's the headline: Smash Brothers Pro trash talks a 15-year-old, then gets roasted by the kid's mom.
Oh yeah. That was on Kotaku. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so guys, don't be one of the things I really hate about specifically online and multiplayer is people are just too negative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be dogging some 15-year-old kid. Come on now, because now you're gonna get roasted by his mom, and you sure did. But let's switch over and let's talk about it. We mentioned a very convoluted series in The Legend of Zelda. In last podcast, we talked about some of the best games. We kind of, Mason, you and I disagreed.
Okay. Oh yeah. For our last episode, I had said that Ocarina of Time is my number one and Wind Waker is number two.
And I agreed with you, but that's not what the list decided. The list was like Wind Waker was number one, and I just didn't understand it. But
no, I get it to an extent, but if we're talking about like in terms of like historical significance, replayability, and just overall hype, I would definitely say Ocarina of Time was, you know, better.
Absolutely agree. Well, it goes to show that The Legend of Zelda is still one of the biggest series out right now, in that the new Legend of Zelda game has sold 10 million units.
Which is very impressive.
I think that they said that that's half of Elden Ring's unit for the entire year.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So, like, this is impressive because this is literally only on the Switch. Like, it's not on anything else.
Dude, imagine if they went cross-platform.
Oh, they would kill numbers. Like, absolutely murder them. Because not everyone has a Switch. No one has money for it.
So, like, real quick fact. As of March 2023, Elden Ring has sold 20 million copies. That means that Legend of Zelda is going to blow Elden Ring out the water.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
But I was reading an article, and I want you guys' opinion on this. And it said that Link, aka Legend of Zelda, for a franchise, is now going to be bigger than Mario.
Do you think?
That's why I wanted to ask you. And the question is, going forward, with the next generation of gamers and the next generation of console owners, are they going to be more excited for the new Legend of Zelda game than they would be for the new Mario game? Has Nintendo outplayed their Mario hand?
I don't think so. I do think that Mario will still reign as like their kind of cash cow / mascot. Because when you think Nintendo, you think Mario.
Yep.
Like, flat out.
Or Pikachu. One
of the two. Yeah, I mean, when somebody says Nintendo, I think, woohoo!
Yep.
Well, let me look at it. Oh, I was about to say. So, I just Googled Mario Kart 8. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is the best-selling game on the platform at over 53 million copies sold. The Mario franchise alone has sold 187.93 million copies on the Nintendo Switch, and the Legend of Zelda franchise has sold 53.8 million copies, and the Pokemon franchise has sold over just shy of 100 million copies. So I don't necessarily agree with that article, because like Legend of Zelda is massive and it's like mm-hmm. massive at the moment, but it's going to take a very long time and a lot of games for Zelda to even get anywhere close to Mario.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Like, Zelda is probably their number two or number three.
Yeah. And with Mario, you can just attach your name to... You can attach Mario to any project and you can call
him Mario. Oh, yeah. It'll print money.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, unless it's Mario and the Rabbids or whatever.
It's a niche game. It's very niche.
But it's good, no, but niche. But to like follow up on that, there's a reason why the new Super Mario Brothers animated film crossed $1 billion.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to see, I don't necessarily know. That's the problem is it's an animated film.
You know,
it's
yeah.
an animated colorful film.
And it was done well.
Yeah, let's not get hasty here.
Whoa, that's a hot take.
There's a hot take. I told you, I didn't love the movie as much as everybody else probably did. I mean, and they actually, reading the reviews, a lot of people didn't love it. It was just more fan service.
I mean, it was a serviceable movie. I mean, my only gripe with it was the voice acting. The two voices that really threw me out of it was Donkey Kong and obviously Mario.
Donkey Kong was the worst in my opinion.
Yeah, dude, the fucking part where they're having the fight scene between Mario and Donkey Kong, and then like right in the middle, you're like getting into it. Like I was getting into it as a viewer. I'm like, yeah, I'm
hyped. I know exactly which part you're about to talk about.
And then all of a sudden, during the middle of this awesome epic fight scene, you hear the Seth Rogen laugh. It's just like, bruh. It took me out of the movie. Like I was watching it upstairs in the bedroom while my wife was downstairs, and I got my headphones on and everything, and I'm watching it, and then I just scream at the top of my lungs. I'm like, no. Like I'm like, not like this.
But you know who did great voice act work in that movie?
I will say Keegan-Michael Key did as Toad.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I did not once assume that was him.
Yeah, I mean, him, Jack Black, and I mean, Charlie Day was fine as Luigi.
Charlie Day was just being Charlie Day.
Yeah, and then Anna Taylor-Joy was no good as Princess Peach. I thought she did fine.
And I thought she did fine as well, but I don't think that was a role where, again, I already told you, they did not need to cast major celebrities for this movie.
I mean,
people would have still watched it. It still would have made $1 billion.
You think?
Yep, sure do. I do not know a single person who was just like, I really need to see Chris Pratt as the voice of Mario.
As Mario, yeah.
And I cannot wait to hear Charlie Day
as Luigi.
Hour and a half.
I will say, though, in the sequel, if they don't have Wario being in it or being voiced by Danny DeVito, I will riot.
Speaking of Danny DeVito, and this is like this segue really didn't work. So you guys like Batman, correct?
Yeah, I love Batman.
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys remember Batman and Robin?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. The bat nipples. Yeah.
The bat nipples with I believe it was George Clooney.
Oh yeah, and the bat credit card and all the awesome Mr. Freeze puns. Oh yeah, that movie's awful, but also it holds a weird place in my heart because not only is it's a cringe movie, but it's a fun like movie to watch and make fun of while you're like viewing it. And another fun fact about that movie is, if I'm not mistaken, the soundtrack was done by Seal.
Yep,
yes,
sure was.
Yes, it was. I remember that.
Every rose has its thorn.
I think it's just called Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, yeah. Kiss from a Rose. The da 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 da.
Yeah. You got it.
The reason I bring this up, and it actually has to do with Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze.
Yes, a freeze is coming.
Well, apparently he revealed how much he got paid for that movie.
He got paid over $1 million, 100%.
All right, what's your number? I want to hear your numbers. What you guys think that he got paid? Because this movie came out in 1997. What do you think Mr. Freeze, Arnold Schwarzenegger, got paid to be Mr. Freeze?
$1.3 million.
Okay, $1.3 million. Got it.
$1.3 for Chris. All right, I'm going to say... Ooh, we're talking about the 90s. I know the budget for that movie was pretty high. Gosh. If I'm going to guess... Oh, this is tough. I'm going to say 5 mil.
Okay, 5 million. If you guys put both of your answers together, you still wouldn't be close.
Wow. How much?
Arnold Schwarzenegger got paid over $30 million.
What?
And he became the highest paid entertainer in the history of Hollywood at the time.
Wow. I mean, that was, I think that was at the height of his career, because like he just got done doing like Predator. He got done doing what was another big movie that he was in other than Predator?
Well, he did the Terminator, and he did the original Terminator in 1984, but I don't know when he did Terminator 2. But yeah, he was paid $30 million. And just to give you guys reference as to how much that is in the 90s, Jim Carrey was paid $20 million for the 1996 The Cable Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise and Kevin Costner both made $20 million in the 1990s. And Julia Roberts was also known to earn $20 million per movie. So Arnold Schwarzenegger made more than all of them just to have a couple lines in Batman and Robin, one of what is considered to be the unfortunately the worst Batman movie of all time. But it's full of camp, and that's why I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know how much Jim Carrey got paid for playing the Riddler?
I do not. Do you have that?
I do not.
Oh, give me 1 second. Let me see if I can find that.
Because that was also like kind of at the height of Jim Carrey's career too.
Let's see here. It doesn't say, because it just talks about what he made on the Cable Guy, which happened around the same time.
Oh, okay.
So he has not said how much he's actually made from that.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm really curious, because I guarantee I guarantee it's probably $20 million, because if that's what he got paid for the Cable Guy, he probably got paid that same amount for Batman Forever. Or not Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the reason I bring up films is because in October we have a horror film coming out. Now, I have never played this game. It's a game going into a movie. I have never played this game. This game has never appealed any interest to me. But I will say the trailer kind of piqued my interest, and I am talking about Five Nights at Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
Have either of you ever played this game?
I've never played it, but I know like younger kids, is what I'll say, are really into the game for whatever reason, especially like teenagers, like I'll say like Zoomers are probably really into it.
Chris, have you played this?
No.
I'm personally not interested in the game.
So the basic summary of this game is you're an anonymous night guard. You must survive five nights as you are haunted by five animatronics hellbent on killing you. They've been talking about making this for a very long
time. Mm-hmm. The trailer that just came out for the live action version looks really good, actually.
It looks really good for a movie that should go direct to DVD.
Yes, agreed. I'm excited for it, though, because it's developed by Blumhouse.
So, yeah, they make pretty good stuff.
Here's the thing. I haven't played the game, but I've watched it. And I think it's an absolutely horrible game. It's not, I don't know. It looks a mess, to be honest. I don't even know what you're honestly supposed to be doing, to be real with you. Like, that's how poorly it's designed, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to you developers. I don't know what vision you were going for, but to me,
it didn't work. Don't worry, developers. Chris hates Mass Effect and most Star Wars.
Listen. No, Mass Effect, like, they need to fix the walking.
Agreed.
When we're thinking about like video games, specifically horror genre video games that should be turned into movies, the first one that comes to mind is Dead Space.
Yes, yeah. I think that would do extremely well as a live action film.
I agree.
That is one of the few games where I actually said I am too scared to keep playing this game.
I quit too. I fucking quit.
Yeah, I quit out. I was like, you know, to me, playing Dead Space was a lot like eating spicy food. And the further you got into it, the spicier the food got. And at one point I said, I am not enjoying this anymore. It's great. It's amazing. But I have lost the enjoyment of this. I'm not going to continue.
Yep.
And so I quit out. But speaking of Dead Space, have you guys heard anything at all about Dead Island 2?
I actually just watched a playthrough on Twitch for Dead Island 2.
I remember when the original came out, and it had probably one of the most misleading teaser trailers in video game history. Because you're thinking that Dead Island, the original one, is going to be like a hopeless, a non-serious thing where there's people going to be falling out of the sky. It's going to get used to your small child. And then it turned out to not be that. It turned out to be kind of dumb, let's be honest here. And so when they announced that there was going to be a sequel years ago, considering Dead Island 1 came out in 2011, I was assuming that Dead Island 2 would have come out with a lot more fanfare, and it did not.
I mean, from what I saw, like, of the game itself, it looked fun, but it didn't look like something that I personally would get into.
Yeah, it's like one of those games too late, you know? Like, it came out really, like, late after the first one. A lot of the people that played the first ones were, like, waiting for this game forever, and it just never came. And so, yeah, I don't know. I feel like if this game had come out in, 2014, it probably would have did really well. But it's because I think that's when the original came out, was like 2011. So yes, 2 years after that, I mean, it would have probably been received extremely well, but it didn't. So, you know, they decided to go the Riptide route, which I think was a Riptide. Is it a prequel or is it like a continuation of the story on the
first one? I don't remember what Riptide was. Riptide was a 2013 action role player game, so I guess it might have been like its own little standalone thing.
Yeah, weird.
Okay, but multiplayer, it was a multiplayer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's just weird. It's very weird. They kind of fumbled that.
Yeah, a little bit. But we hope the very, very best. It came out April 21st, and I've heard nothing ever since. But let's talk about a game that did come out to, I don't even know if this came out to a lot of fanfare either, because there wasn't a whole lot of changes that were made from the original. And we're talking about Overwatch 2.
Because for some reason, like, the video game BioShock,
entirely different game.
No, it, like, BioShock, like, came into my brain when you said Overwatch. I don't know why.
Overwatch, BioShock.
I don't know why that happened, but no, Overwatch 2, though, we got word and news that the long-planned PvE mode has now been officially scrapped.
Now, what exactly is PvE?
So PvE basically means player versus environment, right? It's a solo mode or co-op. Basically, a lot of like first-person shooter games have a PvE mode, such as like Call of Duty, being that you have the story mode. Like, story mode essentially in Call of Duty is PvE, because you, the player, are versus the in-game environment. So it gives players another avenue in the video game to go towards if they're not feeling the multiplayer, right? I've always felt that having this sort of game mode in first-person shooters is essential. Like, that's one of the biggest selling points of, like, Gears of War, at least for me. The multiplayer was fantastic, but I loved the story. And same with, like, horde mode in Gears of War. Same with zombie mode in Call of Duty. That's another example of a PvE element. So I like, from the outside looking in, I really do think a PvE mode would have been a breath of fresh air into Overwatch 2. I really do. I don't know why the executives at Activision Blizzard again made this sort of weird decision.
Well, it's Activision Blizzard. They make weird decisions all the time, and they hope for the best.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, Devin?
I'm a firm believer in, like, this. I think that multiplayer only games have their place, but at the same time, if you want to bring more consumers into the fold, you should offer a story mode, a single player mode. And the reason being, I actually really enjoy playing Call of Duty single player mode.
I do too. Like, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's same. Fun. It's great storytelling. It's interesting. If you're talking about the original Modern Warfare 2, it is phenomenal storytelling. But if it's just a multiplayer only game, like, what is it, Warzone?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hopping in, because one, if I hop in like a month late, I'm already a month late. I'm going to get murked walking into it.
I'm confident and comfortable with myself to admit I'm not good at first person shooter games in terms of the competitive element or multiplayer element. My skills shine in the story mode.
I'm good in either one.
You just, well, I know you are, Chris.
Yeah, Chris, we know what you're best at.
There is this there's this one, Chris, you should probably remember this. I don't know if Chris ever told you this story, Devin. But for our listeners too, Chris used to be a part of MLG in Gears of War or Major League Gaming. He was extremely good at Gears, one of the best that I've seen personally. And he was getting ready for like a big tournament or whatever. So we were having some buddies over at my dad's house to like hang out and shit. And no, Chris was over too. And so it was me, Nate, Donald, and I think Godfrey or something. It was like four of us versus Chris. And the goal was for Chris to beat us, right? And if we killed him, he lost, right?
Right.
He fucking mopped the floor with us.
That's why I don't play shooter games with Chris.
Like we're like, there's no shot. He's not gonna do it. But no, he did, and he used a sniper rifle too.
No, back in the MLG, when Chris's MLG days, and he would be playing Gears of War, I would be his target practice.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Like, I wasn't fighting back. I was just running out and hoping to make it around that first corner.
Yep. Like, we were just like fucking body bags to him.
Yeah. Back in the day, Chris used to be a monster when it came to shooters.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still a monster when it comes to racing games. And Mason, you need to become a monster in fighting games, because Chris is trying to fighting games.
I used to be pretty decent at the Dragon Ball Z Budokai games. The last one that I was like really good at was Dragon Ball Z Budokai 3.
Oh, that one was good. That was real good.
I was very good at that one, and I came in second place at like a big tournament for it, like way back in the day.
Interesting. Can I go ahead and put something out there for you guys? Unrelated.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay.
So if we've talked about on the podcast the fall of Redfall. Basically, Redfall is released.
Redfall has fallen.
Redfall has fallen. And this was kind of one of the big games that Microsoft was banking on.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a headline, and I think it might have came from out of IGN, and they said, is Starfield the last chance for Microsoft?
No.
No.
Hell no.
Well, no shot there. No.
The reason I ask this question is because when we look at quality of games, and I'm not going to talk about PlayStation, because PlayStation has a tendency to release fairly good quality single player games. They do.
That's kind of like what Sony's known for, is like their single player games, like role playing games as well.
Absolutely. They don't come as much as you would a Sony person would have you believe. I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do come, they're generally good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Microsoft has been doing these acquisitions, making these money, have the studio or whatever. And the games, when they finally do release, unless it's like, if it's a AAA game, you can look at Halo Infinite, you can look at Redfall as an example. It's never as good as we hope it's going to be.
No.
I've talked about this before. Bethesda is not known for releasing a great product day one.
No. God, no.
they're not. And I think that because people already have a certain negative connotation for Microsoft buying Bethesda, I think that no matter what Starfield is going to look like, it is automatically going to be perceived negatively by quite a lot of fans. And I'm assuming these fans, people who probably will never even play the game. It's going to be... what is that term called where you just
review bombed?
Yes, review bombed.
Yeah, I know. Freaking Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic, and I'm trying to think of some other sites that are they're really cracking down on review bombing, which is good.
As they should.
Mm-hmm.
As they absolutely should. And my concern with Microsoft is that outside of Starfield, what else do we have coming out this year?
Like
off the top of your head.
Oh, I don't know of anything specifically, like for sure, but the rumor is Forza Motorsport.
Yeah, but Forza Motorsport usually comes out around September, September, October. And if we haven't heard it up to this point, because there hasn't been a whole lot of information revealed about that, if they might delay it. We have not heard anything about Fable. That you can get Fable out of your head right the fuck now.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because I love Fable.
We all love Fable, and that's the problem, is that we haven't heard much of anything from that, and I don't think they've delayed it or whatever, even canceled it. I think they've played it smart. But looking at the games that are coming out just for Xbox, let me scroll on down here. Let me keep on scrolling, because this is multi-platform. Here's one. What does that sound?
Oh, sorry, my alarm went off. Sorry no about worries. That.
We have the Elder Scrolls Online Necrom. Okay. Let me keep on scrolling. This one is multi-platform. This one is multi-platform. We have Starfield, September 6th. Yep. This one is multi-platform. This one is multi-platform. We have Stalker 2, Hearts of Chernobyl.
All right.
December 8th. It says Skull and Bones, but let's be honest, that's not.
Skull and Bones is going to get delayed again.
Yes. Lies of P. Lies of P is coming this year.
Oh, there you go.
What is that?
It's Pinocchio, and it's like a Souls-like game.
Yeah, okay, actually looks really raw.
All right, so it's an Xbox only?
Xbox and PCs only.
Perfect. So. Then that works. So outside of that, because also I noticed on the list that we didn't hear Hellblade 2.
No. I wouldn't assume that's this year. I would assume it's next.
I'm going to assume it's next year as well. So yeah. I'm also going to assume Forza is also next year. It's just, it's not looking great for the rest of the year for Microsoft.
Yeah.
They're supposed to have a showcase next month in June, which hopefully they're going to crack open the door. But as of right now, it ain't looking good.
I mean, they might give some more information about other projects at the Summer Game Festival that's coming up.
Hopefully.
Liza P is not exclusive to Xbox.
I was about to say, I don't know about that one, but all right.
Yeah,
but I do, going to your point, I appreciate how everyone backed out of E3 to do their own thing.
Yeah, and now they're going to the Summer Game Fest, which is only for like one day.
Yeah, they're going to the Summer Game Fest, and they're doing all of their showcases around the same week in June. I'm like, y'all are just being dicks now.
Yeah, they're just kind of rubbing it in our face. They're putting salt in the wound. They're just like, we all know that you like E3, but guess what? We're going to do a E3-esque event.
You want to buy tickets? Absolutely not.
Yeah, because like, I personally would want to go to the Summer Game Fest, but it's only for one day. So it's just, to me, it's not worth.
Yeah. I want to go as well, but one day for just one thing, it's not worth traveling.
No, like I said in our text, like if it was like a weekend thing, like for 3 days, I would consider it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I mentioned before we got on the podcast that did either of you watch the Humble Games Showcase?
I didn't even know what it was.
Nope.
So I'm assuming Humble is a, online publisher of video games. So today they decided to have their own little showcase to kind of announce what they have coming up. Would you guys like to hear one with a little summary of what's coming out from Humble? And I want to know your thoughts, whether this sounds interesting, something you want to look into, or does it sound kind of like lame?
Yeah, go for it.
So the first game, it wasn't the first one announced, but this is the one that got me most excited, even though it's PC only. It's called Stray Gods, the role-playing musical. Today's showcase gave us more insight into Stray Gods, the role-playing musical, ahead of its August 3rd release. Originally named Chorus, an adventure musical, before being renamed Stray Gods, It is an RPG musical where players control a young woman who inherits the powers of the last muse in Greek mythology named Grace. Now, it's a role-playing game. So you might be asking yourself, how is this a musical and a role-playing game? Well, during certain sections of the musical, you are actually given dialogue. And that dialogue will determine which way the musical goes, and you have to sing the entire thing. I love the sound of this because it sounds so like much like work. I enjoy this.
Mm-hmm. Pass. Pass. Hard pass for me.
All right. Well, if you follow our Twitter page, this one is next one is up for you. This is called hashtag blood, B-L-U-D.
Is the title literally called hashtag blood?
Well, it's the hashtag sign.
Okay. And blood,
B-L-U-D. As part of a new partnership with animation studio and developer Exit 73, hashtag blood is a new dungeon crawler launching sometime next year on PC. Players assume the role of Becky Brewster as she balances school, friends, and slaying monsters.
This one looks cool.
This one I thought looked kind of fun. I thought I would probably play this one too.
It looks like an old like a Cartoon Network cartoon or something.
Hmm.
Yes.
So like it gives me cartoony vibes and I like it.
What was the cartoon where it was just like a bunch of kids and they lived in the treehouse?
Kids Next Door.
It looks like Kids Next Door to me.
Yeah, Codename Kids Next Door.
That's
Kids
fucking right.
Yes, let me be more accurate.
You put some respect on that name.
Yeah, that was a good show, to be real.
It was. All right, it really was. The next one is called The Wizard of Legend 2, a sequel to the 2018's Wizard of Legend. Wizard of Legend 2 is an indie roguelike that will support 4-player online co-op. Dead Mage is developing Wizard of Legend 2. While not the original game developers, Contingent 99 is offering guidance to the studio. So this one is kind of more of a top-down kind of like game style.
It
looks a little bit, it kind of looks like a cartoony Diablo. It looks fun. I wouldn't personally play this because it's not really my style.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like something I would mess with.
Yeah. I think we all probably would next with the next one. This is called Bow. Path of the Teal Lotus. Developed by Squid Shock Studios, Teal Lotus is a 2D Metroidvania platformer where players control Bo, a celestial blossom that can shapeshift. Mm-hmm. Similar to Clover Studios' Okan Bo, Path of Teal Lotus World and Sardi is based on Japanese folklore and is slated to launch on PC in 2024. I absolutely love the art direction of this game.
That, I mean, just based off the description alone, sounds like a must play for me.
Yes.
Not only does it deal with themes that I am passionate about, but the game mode style is also something that I mess with a lot, like the Metroidvania style. I love that. I love it.
This game actually looks like a lot of fun. I would absolutely play this one as well. Yep. The next one we have here is called Breeze in the Clouds. If you ever wanted to play as a corgi with weather powers, Breeze in the Clouds is right up your alley. Players control Breeze, a corgi that is using his newfound power to fight pollution. There is no release date yet, but today's showcase gave us an interview with the game developer, along with a colorful new trailer. This one reminds me of kind of like Sonic art style. Would I play this? Probably not. But it's fun.
It's different. And
it's different. So I have three more. The next one is called Cataclysmo. I know I'm saying this wrong.
Cataclysmo.
It is a fortress-building RTS game developed by Digital Sun, the same developer that created Moonlighter and the Mage Seeker. Cataclysmo will have you building fortresses as you fend off waves of enemies and lead an expedition as you try to rebuild humanity one stone at a time. So when I first saw this, it reminds me of those like phone game ads where you have to like build a fortress and defend against zombies.
Oh, okay.
So I guess because I have a negative connotation towards that, this did not really call out to me.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a pass.
Yeah, yep. We'll go ahead and pass on that one. The next one is called Lost Skies. This one, I really like this one. A co-op survival adventure game by Bossa Games, Lost Skies is set in a vast sky filled with floating islands. With support for up to 6 players, Lost Skies tasks players with finding and crafting their own skyship by using ancient technology and fending off enemies they may occur. I love every second of this. I wish I could play this, but I don't know if
it's this one looks fun. All right. It doesn't show. Like, I was looking at, I'm like looking at stuff as you do it, and it does. It's just like a trailer. Like, it doesn't show you like gameplay, but the idea of it sounds fun.
Yeah, when they were doing the animated trailer, you can actually like create all sorts of different types of ships and explore with your friends. I just love the exploration idea behind this. This is a world that I cannot wait to explore. And our last one is called Superland 6 Inches Under, a Metroidvania set in the first-person perspective. Superland 6 Inches Under indefinitely launched last year on PC, but today's showcase confirmed a shadow release for PlayStation and Xbox consoles, with the game also available in the Xbox Game Pass library. Now, when I first saw this, it reminded me of that game where you're like shrunk down as a small person.
Grounded.
It reminded me too much of Grounded for me to be look at this, but it seems like it probably is a little bit more less serious than Grounded is.
It looks cool. It actually looks pretty fun.
Yeah, this might be one. Since it's on Xbox Game Pass, maybe I'll go ahead and throw it in there and see what we have.
Yeah.
But that is all of our stories for today. Is there anything else you guys wish to talk about before we go?
No, not for me.
The last thing I will say is the anime that I was thinking about earlier at the beginning was called I Got a Cheat Skill in Another World and Became Unrivaled in the Real World too. Long ass title.
I don't know how you could have possibly ever forgotten that super long title.
It's based off of a light novel, but it's a completely degenerate anime, and it's basically one of those shows that you can just turn your brain off and watch. It's about like a guy just being OP for the sake of being OP. And what's really funny is he's voiced by the Japanese voice actor for Kirito from Sword Art Online, which is just hilarious, because Kirito, if you remember from Sword Art, is an OP ass character.
It's so awesome.
Like for no reason. Like, he doesn't work for her, like, anything. And same goes with this show that I'm watching. The main character, like, he just gets everything ever. And it's just one of those shows that you can just be like, yeah, this is garbage, but I'm having fun.
That's all you could hope for.
And then the last thing I'll say is, we were talking about video games that could be live action movies. There was a video game that came out in 1996 that I was really into growing up. It was a game called Deception. It is a horror video game and a tactical role-playing game that basically allowed you to make traps.
Interesting.
Think like almost Saw in a way, but not impossible.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a franchise / series developed by Tecmo for Sony. If you ever get a chance to look into it, I highly recommend looking up the video game series Deception. It's really cool.
All right. And on that, listeners, thank you so much for joining us here at the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. If you like what we do, be sure to give us a like, a subscribe, and even a share. You can find us every place you listen to your podcast, whether that be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and I believe we might even be on iHeartRadio. If you wish to connect with us directly, you can find us at our Twitter page, at Uninformed Gamers, or at the TikTok, at Uninformed Gamers. And if you wish to connect with me directly, it's Darkness Tiger on Xbox and Darkness Tiger 2 on PS5. All right, gentlemen, give your sign-offs.
Yeah, I am Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games. Best spot to reach me.
And I have been Mason, also known as Rad Dreams. You can find me at YouTube at Rad Dreams Reviews. And you can also find me on Twitch, Rad_Dreams.
All right. Thank you all so much for giving us a listen. We will catch y'all next time. Bye.
Peace.
Later.